Now, the other second question that they will not confront is that if you're going to organize, you have to have volunteer organizers of people in the same industry and occupation. Those are the people who can talk to the unorganized in the same industry because they've been through the same mill, they know the problems, and that's how you do it. Unorganized people distrust staff people. They figure they have their own agenda. They're out just to collect dues.
Yeah.
But if they get ordinary workers like themselves discussing the problems, showing them their contracts, discussing the Constitution, discussing the aspects of democracy in their local union, etc. You build confidence.
Yeah, is this the tactic that's usually referred to as member-to-member organizing?
Well, it's whatever it's referred to as member-to-member. That's a good, description. But not enough of it is done. So that you have some organizers who are on the job for 3 years. Imagine?
Yeah.
What the devil are you going to do for 3 years sitting around? I would say that I'd like to see organizers have a daily journal that would be open to the leadership to check on what the hell they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just accountability. I mean, corporations do those sorts of things.
Of course they do. Any organization that's interested in checking on the efficiency of their staff would do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, as a matter of fact...
It's not done. There are people who have been around organizing the same place for 2-3 years. It doesn't make any sense at all. And the third thing, element, which has been done very poorly, is to reach out to the unorganized. Now, the AFL-CIO says there are about 50 million people out there, workers, who want a union. But for whatever reasons, either they're too scared or they distrust the AFL-CIO, are not joining.
Well, one thing is they don't know what to do, and there's not much of an outreach to them.
There is no outreach.
They don't know
there's
who to
no
call.
National paper. There's no national radio, no national TV, and they don't know where they are. You know, I came up with a very peculiar suggestion, which, of course, it didn't get any place. I said, look at the military. They have recruiting centers. You come in there, they tell you all about it, and they have literature and so on. Why can't the AFL-CIO have recruiting centers in major cities? Have it all placed with literature, with a staff that can explain to unorganized workers what joining a union means, holding open forums at these centers, and so on. So that workers who may be interested in joining a union will know where to go.
Yeah.
Right now, there may be workers who are interested in joining, but what are they going to do, look up a union in the directory?
Well, as a matter of fact, around this area, that's really about the only thing you could do, you know, unless you're in at some place that's already kind of targeted. There's really no way to... get information.
That's right. Well, that's important. A very simple principle. If you can't talk to unorganized workers, how are you going to organize them?
Well, if they don't know you exist, how
if
are you going to...
If they don't know you exist, and you know, the unions have not done much to show that they exist. We haven't won a battle in 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And, so the unions had very poor public relations. They become marginalized. And many of the workers, of course, the charge has been that they're irrelevant to the needs of ordinary workers who don't even know about them and don't really care.
Well, yeah, we don't have children working in coal mines anymore. So
that's right.
We don't need unions. I've heard that.
That's right, of course. And the usual argument is unions used to... they'd be very important way back, but they're not needed now.
Well,
and the unions haven't answered that one.
That's true. And so basically, it would be much better if we had some kind of, well, for example, like local labor councils. It wouldn't be that expensive for them to run, say, a small display ad in newspapers.
Well, some of them do, and some of them don't. A lot of them don't. And it's not just a display ad, one display ad. It has to be a consistent campaign. You see, if you had a Central Labor Council, say, surveying, for example, all the non-union places in their jurisdiction, you have some people working on a team of volunteers working on community support, to speaking to the people in the community about mutual campaigns, and a lot of other things that the Central Labor Councils could do. But in many cases, they do not have the resources or the staffing. So there are a lot of problems there. That is, there's not one answer. That's the whole point. But
yeah.
I don't see many of the major questions being discussed in the kind of way that will increase interest by the rank and file. Now, my point is that we have 13 million, or maybe 12.5 million union members. These people pay dues. They do work. They are in just about every major city of the United States. And they contribute a great deal to the economy of this country. And yet, they're not taken into account. Imagine if we, this is a precious asset, these 13 million union members are a precious asset to the labor movement. If we could make labor activists out of a fraction of those, we could revolutionize the labor movement and increase the union movement by millions. But that is not being done.
Well, Harry, we mentioned earlier about how effective the AFL-CIO and its affiliate unions have been at getting out the vote in
elections.
They do
that. They do that beautifully.
Perhaps they could look at what they're doing there, apply it to the workplace, and do it continually instead of just every 4 years.
That's one of the things I suggested that was not done. In 2004, they did this terrific political campaign, right?
Yeah.
But if they had used that campaign, since these were union people talking to other union people, if they used it for organizing as well, if they dropped some literature every time they spoke to an unorganized worker, or answered some questions, or made some statements.
Right, not just be shills for the Democratic Party.
Not just talk about the issues that the Democratic Party wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So that would have made quite a difference. You organize in every which way possible. You labor organizes by its approach to any question, any social question. But they did not do that, and my hope is that they will do that in this campaign to defeat Bush's privatization plan. I suggested that to a number of leaders, and they said it's a good idea, but between accepting a good idea and doing it, is, you know, there's a lot of the space in between. But one, another important thing that was put in some of the resolutions, particularly by the Teamsters, firefighters, and a couple of others, was to cut down the size of the Executive Council. See, originally, the Executive Council consists of 54 members. Some of the unions said, some of the big unions said, that's too large, it's just a talking outfit, that we got to cut it down to size so that we can be more effective. So they cut it down to 25. So the 25 are part of this 58. Then they said the 25 are too many. And now there's a proposal to limit it to 10, or maybe 15 at the most, and to limit it only to union presidents. Now, if you look at the membership of the 10 biggest unions. They're all headed by a white male, middle, elderly, usually elderly or almost elderly, and they're running it. There are no women or minorities in the top 10. So here are women who represent 43% of the total AFL-CIO membership. Under this proposal, they'd be completely disfranchised. And similarly with minorities. The African-American and Latino together, I think, comprise about 30% of the AFL-CIO membership.
Well, I think every Philly union should have a representative on whatever the top council is.
Well, there are all kinds of proposals, but their idea is to use this crisis to cut down on the number of people on a policy-making position. Well, they say they get in the way. In other words, democracy is an impediment in this view, because there's too much talking about things, and what you need is strong leaders who are not impeded by a lot of chatter from rank and filers who don't know what they're talking about anyway. That's their view.
Yeah.
So
the people who are there.
That's going to be quite an issue. Now, it hasn't come up yet. You see, the point is that in this three-day meeting, which was supposed to settle a lot of matters, has settled only one or two. And between now and the convention, which is in late July, that's about 4.5 months, there'll be all kinds of meetings of the council or subcommittees and so on to try to grapple with some of these problems and to come up with some solutions to present to the convention, which will have about 800 delegates, elected delegates from around the country.
Well, I'll tell you what, Harry, we're getting close to the end of our time here.
I have one interesting thing to tell you if we're getting close.
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
All right. Well, you know, Service Employees Union constantly talk about their membership, you know, their biggest union in the AFL-CIO, and that they have 1.8 million members. You've heard that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I happened to check on the per capita contributions to the AFL-CIO in 2004 by the service employees, and they've paid for only 1.35 million people. In other words, they did not pay for about 450,000 members of this 1.8 million. Now, that figure amounts to about over $3 million. In other words, if the figure of 1.8 million is true, is accurate, they have shortchanged the AFL-CIO by over $3 million. Now, that's something that's worth looking into.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. They should probably look into
everybody. So I'm going to ask, I wrote a piece in suggesting that this is, Stern should certainly try to explain this discrepancy. You know, if he's, on what basis did he shortchange the AFL-CIO? Why didn't he pay his full per capita?
Yeah.
And in other words, are they playing around with this idea of weakening the AFL-CIO by not giving it the dues money that it deserves? Now, when they ask for a 50% cut of the AFL-CIO's revenue, no one has really discussed how that's going to affect the AFL-CIO. What's going to remain of it? What departments will be shut down or reduced? And it may mean that the AFL-CIO will be absolutely ineffective. And that won't help the labor movement at all.
Well, as a building trades worker, I do know that their building trades department does a whole lot of work in figuring out what our jurisdictions are supposed to be.
Sure. So there still will be many questions, and Then of course, who's going to be the president of the AFL-CIO? Who will be elected? That's a big question. And the Stern people have a candidate whom they've been grooming. That's Wilhelm of the Unite Here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Sweeney is saying that he wants 4 more years.
Yeah,
So we got 2 very weak candidates at a time when we need an energetic, dynamic, articulate, and effective leadership. And so if it boils down to these two, we're going to be in trouble for the next 4 years. So somehow a new leadership will have to arise, new candidates. But we'll have to wait and see. There'll be a lot of changes made in the next 4 or 5 months leading up to this convention, and I would say that every dedicated union member should watch carefully what's taking place. Check the AFL-CIO website frequently, and play a role, because if union members as a whole are not active in defending their union, it's going to go down the drain. So that's my final word about it.
Well,
we've got all of us save this labor organization for working people, because that's the only real organization that can fight in their behalf.
Well, thanks a lot, Harry, and
right.
We really appreciate your dedication to the movement over all the years.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, we'll be in touch.
Okay.
Hello, my website, in case you want your listeners want to
definitely.
I have a lot of material on that, including pamphlets and articles. It's www.labereducator.org. www.labereducator.org. You'll find a lot of material there, some of which I've been talking about tonight.
Well, I'll be looking at it, and I definitely urge everybody listening to take a look at it.
Good. Be well.
Okay. Well, you have a good night, Harry.
You too.